Well, some things in life are absolutely certain, aren't they? Some things in life are absolutely certain. So the sun, it rises in the east and it sets in the... Good, good, very good, sharp. It's absolutely certain, categorically, 100% certain, absolutely, that that is always going to happen, day in, day out. Day after the other. What about this pen? If I drop it, which way will it fall? No, are you certain? Are you absolutely certain? But just what if it floated off into the air? You see, some things in life are certain. Do you know what? Premier League's just started. You know for sure Man City are going to win the Premier League. You just know. Some things in life are certain. And hey, Sports Plus, you know, Thursday night, we will always finish with celebration of sport. It's a certainty. You know it's coming. It's certain. But here's the thing. Can we be certain about Jesus? Can we be absolutely 100% categorically certain of all that we've heard this week? Can we be sure in his identity? Can we be certain in the work that he's done at the cross? Here in Colossians, Paul writes to a group of Christians, a group of guys, to tell them they can be absolutely, categorically, 100% sure and certain of Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And so we can too. On Thursday night here at Repton, we can be certain of who Jesus is and what he's done. Absolutely, categorically certain. So, let's have a look at three certainties. Three certainties in this passage that I hope will make your heart sing this evening. Here's the first. Be certain. Here's the charge to the Christians in Colossae and the Christians here in the room. And those of you who aren't, I'm telling you this is what you can be sure of and certain of if you trust in Jesus. Be certain that Jesus is in charge. He's in control. Look at verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. I like reading bios of people. I like learning a little bit about them, a little bit about what they've done in life, their credentials. Here's one I picked off at the website, Oral Park Baptist Church. Look, Dave Willis, he's the pastor. Dave is also a parent governor at Rice Lane Junior School. And he works for Christians in Sport, assisting with the youth work. He has recently taken up running, has completed marathons in Dublin, Athens, Barcelona, and Budapest. And he would love to want to run the one in New York too. Dave also enjoys football, supporting Liverpool. He plays golf when he has the time. Check out Willow's bio. It's a little bit random, isn't it? I mean, what's all that marathon running doing? But here's something of Willow. Here's something of Willow, what we know of Willow. And I look at that and I think, oh, you know, fair play. There's Willow. But at lunchtime today, you looked at the bio of Jesus. You looked at some of Jesus's credentials earlier on in this passage. Did you enjoy looking at the credentials of Jesus? He's the creator of all things. We've seen his power over nature, haven't we? Calming the storm. He's the creator of all things. Did you read that he's the reason for all things? Did you read that? In verse 16, it said that in Colossians 1. You did that at lunchtime. He's the reason why all things are created. And then we read in verse 17 that he's the sustainer of all things. He's the one that holds all things together. It's like Jesus is the glue of the universe. And he's the death defeater. And we've seen that this week with Jairus' daughter, Talitha Kum. Rise, little girl. You see, the credentials of Willow, all right. But the credentials of the Lord Jesus are incredible. Incredible. And look at the memory verse on the back of your badge that feeds into these verses. What does it say? Look, he is the head of the body. The church, he's in charge of the whole world, the whole universe, the whole of creation, and his church, his people. And he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. There's no one that has authority over death apart from the Lord Jesus. He reigns. He has death in control. It's his. Listen, I was at my granddad's funeral a couple of weeks ago. 97 years old, decent innings. Good old boy. You know, we heard it last night, didn't we, from Fenning this morning, sorry. Remember the graveside? And I was there, and the pastor of the church, he said this as we again looked into the grave and were confronted with death. And we heard these words, "We therefore commit Tom's body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." And those words hit me again. Wow. Sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be certain that Jesus is in charge because of his credentials. "Who do you say I am?" asked Jesus. We've sung that silly little ditty, haven't we, every single meeting. You're fed up, I'm sure. But it's the crucial question. And Paul is writing to a group of Christians who are in doubt of Jesus' identity. And do you know what? You might be too, still. And do you know in weeks to come, when Sports Plus is but a distant memory, and Team Sweden and the lovely lads that you were with, they've kind of faded. Who was in my team again? And Malawi and the chant, and what did we do? What did we talk about? And your faith in Jesus is waning again? Paul writes to the Christians here, be sure, be certain, because people will be trying to tell you other things about Jesus. Will be trying to pull you away from him. So go back. Go back to your towns and cities. You don't need acceptance from anyone else. You've been accepted by the King of Kings. Listen, you don't need success to give you identity. You're a child of God. You don't need to doubt. Certain of the identity of Jesus. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. I can be certain, absolutely, categorically, 100% certain that Jesus is in charge. Look, secondly, let's go. Be certain. Jesus has brought you back to God. Look at these verses, verses 20 to 22. Shall I read them quickly? "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." You see, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. You can be certain that Jesus has brought you back to God if you trust him. You see, it's the job of him who created all things, back to 1:15, if you remember the Bible study, it's the job of him who created all things to make all things good again. It's his job to reconcile all things back to himself. You see the word reconcile? Have a look down in those verses, 21, 22. Appears twice. Get your pen. Underline, circle it. Check it out. Where does it appear? See, Paul's talking about two things. See the first bit? Look, verse 20. "And through him to reconcile to himself all things." Jesus is reconciling all things back to himself, all things in heaven and on earth. Everything that's wrong in this world, then Jesus is making amends. He's making all things new. And whether you're a Christian here or not, that is good, good news. Because every injustice, every terror, every single wrongdoing will be put to right. He's reconciling. He's bringing back to himself all things. But secondly, and here's the focus of Paul. Here's the focus. Look, what else is he reconciling? Verse 21, once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you. So Paul's talking about all things, but he's focusing on you, the Christian here in Colossae. He's talking about what has happened. What you were, look what you were. Can you see this? Verse 21, you were alienated from God. You were separated from God. You were cast away. You were banished from his presence. Why? Because you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. There's no one that has a neutral view of God. There's no one that can sit on the fence. Paul here uses really strong language. He says you're an enemy in your mind. It's the active part of you. It's proactively set up against God in every sense. Genesis chapter 5, right back in the Bible, it says every inclination of man's heart is only evil all the time. And so think back to Pete's talk when the world says you, make you, you. Make you better. The Bible says, no, you're an enemy of God. Proactively set up against him. It's the grim reality of human existence. You look around and you see it. You look in the mirror and you see it. It's my behavior. Look, Paul says, this is what you were, alienated and enemies in your minds. But now, look at what you are. You are reconciled. You have been bought back. A price has been paid, and the Lord Jesus has paid it. And he has bought you back, and you can be certain. I remember being at a camp similar to this. And I remember one illustration that grabbed me. And I thought, Cor, come on, let's do it. Because it really helped me. I think I was 12, but let's go with it, 14 to 17 year olds. Because it's exactly what we've been talking about all week. I've got a good friend, Ed. Ed, stand up, please. We heard from Ed this morning. And do you know when you were listening to Ed, didn't you think, Cor, good boy, him? Oh, I like the way he opens the Bible. I like his expression. He's passionate. He loves the Lord Jesus, doesn't he? And trainee leaders, you'll have enjoyed Ed, I reckon. Let me tell you, I really know Ed. Like, I know him well. In fact, he was in my team, Team Botswana, 2001. I was his team leader. I really know Ed. We've kept in touch.
Still know the chance.
Yeah. Let's not do it. Later. I know Ed, and I know what he's like. So let me give you a little bit of insight to Ed. Ed is a filthy, dirty, stinking, rotten sinner. Fact. He's been alienated from God. He's made God an enemy in his mind because of his behavior. And so let's illustrate this, Ed. You've got your bag. It's a bag of your grim washing over the week. Now, it's not, it doesn't smell great. But here's Ed. And let's say that this is his sinful heart, the way that he's been set up against God because of his behavior. So think of that. I know it. There's malice and there's slander and there's hatred, there's bitterness, there's lust. It's all there. And that is what has made him an enemy of God. And therefore, God can have nothing to do with him. Do you remember the curtain temple? Sorry, the temple curtain. Do you remember that? Barrier. A holy God can have nothing to do with sinful man. Otherwise, he would consume him. An enemy of God's because of his behavior. So what does the Lord Jesus do? Oh, what does he do? Here's what the Lord Jesus does. Sent from God. And he says, Ed, let me have that. Let me bring you back. And so what does he do? He takes the sin of Ed on his shoulders. As Ed sees his need of a savior, he sees his greatest need for the forgiveness of sins. And the Lord Jesus says, Ed, I'll take that. And here's what I will do. I will bring you back. I will bring you back to my Father. And here's the why he can be with his Father. Because he's now without blemish. He's free from accusation. Because the punishment, the penalty, the sin now has been dealt with. And it hasn't been thrown under the carpet. It's on the shoulders of Jesus. And how was it dealt? It was punished by God. It was dealt with as sin deserves to be dealt with. The wrath of God on the shoulders of Jesus, so that Ed could be reconciled, brought back to God at such great price. God says, you're my child, Ed. You're free from accusation. You can be absolutely, categorically certain that you're mine because Jesus has taken the punishment you deserve. Thanks, Ed. I'll keep this. I wonder if you're certain tonight. I wonder if you're absolutely certain. Here's that word, reconciliation. It means a little bit more than a handshake. Do you know what it means? The Father's enormous embrace that welcomes the prodigal son back. You've been reconciled. You can be absolutely certain of that. And lastly, look, you can be certain that you can continue trusting Jesus. Look at that last verse. Verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. If, look at that teeny word, if. Here's the danger for the Christians in Colossae. There's danger that the Christians will look towards other things. There's danger that false teachers are coming in and saying, hey, Jesus, he's all right. Do you know what he starters? He's a good starter, but main course, hey, this is what you need. You need a better spiritual experience. You need to worship angels. Chapter 2, he talks about this. You need to go to different festivals and celebrate new moon celebrations. More, better, if you really want to be more spiritual. Other things are taking them away from Jesus. There's danger, every danger, that my eyes can be taken away from the Lord Jesus. Every danger when I go back home. And so you've got to be certain, absolutely certain, that you can continue trusting in Jesus. You've got to be certain about what stops you from being a Christian. What is it that stops you from being a Christian? Is it if you go back home next week and you mess up big time? In whatever way, does that stop you from being a Christian? Does that put a blot against your name and say, no, you can't be a Christian anymore? What about if you miss church or your quiet times? Does that mean you can't be a Christian anymore? No, it doesn't. But Paul is saying what? He's saying, if you continue in your faith, here's how I can stop being a Christian. If I stop believing, if I stop trusting in the forgiveness of sins. And so do you see that what Paul is saying? He's saying, look, continue in your faith, established and firm. The word established there, it's being buckled in. Means being buckled in. It means being strapped down onto a horse. It means that you can't be flung off. So I guess our modern day version would be a seatbelt in a car, wouldn't it? You can't roll around the car when the car crashes because you're established, you're firm, you're buckled in. You will not move. And Paul is saying everything you need to continue is yours through the gospel. Everything you need. You've started by trusting in Jesus. You know that's the only way. You continue by trusting in Jesus. That's the only way. You will end by trusting in Jesus. That's the only way to continue. Established and firm. Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Paul is saying it's all about the gospel. Keep trusting what Jesus has done. So very grateful as we finish. So grateful that hope is held within the gospel, not me. Do you see that? It's not about how much faith I have. Do you see that? It's not about if one day then I'm really low and I've got an ounce of faith and the next day, oh, I've got a bit more faith. That's not what Paul is talking about. Paul is saying it's not about how much faith you have, but it's about what you put your faith in. Because the gospel will hold you. The forgiveness of sins will hold you. It will. Let's finish. George Mallory, 1924, first ascent of Everest. 100 meters before the summit. That was when he was last seen. No one knows if he made it to the top. No one knows. But what they say, and on his gravestone, is George Mallory last seen climbing. Did he conquer Everest? No one really knows. No one knows. Wouldn't it be great if you were known as last seen trusting? Trusting not in your ability, trusting not in your goodness, not in your good works, trusting in the gospel, your faith put in Jesus. Because you can be absolutely certain that Jesus is in charge, absolutely certain that Jesus has brought you back to God, absolutely certain that you can continue trusting him. Not because of you, but because of who he is. He's removed your alienation from God. He's removed the hostility. He's removed you being an enemy of his. And he's reconciled you back to the Father with arms open wide. If you're a Christian, celebrate that tonight. And if you're not, that can be yours. The peace that comes with knowing that. Did you see that? There's peace. The end of verse 20, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Christ's physical body broken for me in my place so that I could be reconciled, brought back to my Father. And I'm going to keep trusting all the way.